Are you ready for that meeting in the air?
I sure am.
If you have your Bibles and like to read along with us today, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 6. And I will begin at, I really don't know where to begin, so I'll just begin at chapter 6, verse 1. I was going to break it up a little bit, but I'm going to read it all today and then introduce the thought that we have the Lord has laid upon our heart today. Anybody have anything on your heart before we approach God's Word? If not, I want to read chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Weren't we singing "Standing on the Promises of God" when I come in this morning? I thought so. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Surely, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so on. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's reading 20 verses of Scripture for our reading lesson. The word hope was mentioned 3 times in these passages of Scripture, and I hope that you understood that that's probably what we're going to talk about today. In verse 11 he says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Now, when we think about the word hope, I want to go over, and we're going to be taking the remainder of the blessing lesson today from the first epistle, and maybe go over to Ephesians chapter 2 before we're finished today. But what God laid upon my heart for this congregation today and for all of us is the word hope. Not only hope, but hope in a troubled world that we live in. Hope in a troubled world, and even the United States of America. Hope, by a troubled world. You know, a lot of things that we are in trouble about today is of our own doing. Do you know that? And it's our lack of not doing what God wants us to do. But the writer here said in the book of Hebrews in the 6th chapter that this hope that we have, you know what? It's not superficial. It's just not temporary. It's an eternal hope. But today there may be somebody here that you've got a troubled soul. But I want to tell you there's hope for a troubled soul today too. So the things that we want to look at today is that hope in a troubled world, hope by a troubled world, and hope for a troubled soul. Now, I've got one, I could just say one sentence or one phrase to just basically sum up all that and close up my Bible and be done. That is this: if your hope is anchored in Jesus Christ, you've got all you need. If you don't have hope in Jesus Christ, you better listen to what I got to say, because it is very important. Now, I looked up the definition of hope in the 1828, and that's why I got my iPad up here. I've never done this before. But the word hope, evidently Noah Webster thought a lot about hope. And so I want you to understand, a lot of people, they'll say, well, I hope I make it to heaven. That's not what the Bible talks about when it's talking about hope. You see, hope is much, if you're thinking of it in that way, then you've really got a shallow opinion of the definition of what hope is really about. You see, we sung that song today. He'll hold my hand. Listen to that. That's the voice of our soul crying out saying, we know that our hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. And when it's anchored in Jesus Christ, that means that there's no way you can pull that up. There's no way it's going to give way. It may be in the sandiest and deepest part of the ocean, and I'm here to tell you, if your hope is in Christ, it is anchored right where it needs to be. And the world needs to hear that. The world's in trouble because they've lost sight of the fact that they don't have a hope. And what hope they put it in? They put their hope in the government. They put their hope in what mama did or what daddy did or what he didn't do or what he didn't do, or in the church or in religion. And so many people have put their hope in those things, and they have lost sight of what real hope is all about. Now listen, this is what it says. Hope is a noun. It's a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of attaining it. You see, I've got an expectation. I'm expecting, and we read in your hearing, and I guess I need to go over there and look at that a little bit. It even says that, you know what? This hope is so firm that God, and there's two immutable things. In other words, there's two things that won't change. And one of them is that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He also said that he made a promise to an old man and said, that old man, you're going to have a son. And that old man was Abraham. And he says, even when you're 100 years old, you're going to have a son. And that son is going to be, his offspring are going to be like the sand of the sea. And that's the children of Israel. And he said he couldn't swear by no greater that was going to happen. So he swore by himself. He said God's. He swore by himself that this was going to happen. And he said this. He said, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Just for this life? He said, no, until the end. All the way to the end. And he says, wherefore, God willing more abundantly to show this, he talks about these two immutable things. And this is what he said, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And the hope that we set before you today, everyone that's truly been saved by God's grace, we have to flee out of the refuge. And who is our refuge? It's Jesus Christ. And so we earnestly expect that. And it says, or it is a belief that it is obtainable. Hope is obtainable. Salvation is obtainable. And he said, hope differs from wish or desire in this. It does. It's not something we wish for. It's not something that we desire. Because there's something that changed. A strong consolation, an anchor of the soul is what it's telling us. So we see that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. You see, when you hope in something, that brings you joy. Because not only are you hoping in it, but you feel the joy, especially when it comes to fruition, or comes to pass, or comes before you, you see. In other words, hope is something that is tangible. You say, what do you mean tangible? It's something that you can feel, you see. You mean you can grab hope and hold on to it? Absolutely, you can. That woman, she laid her hope on the bed, just the garment of Jesus, you see. And all she did was touch it, you see. And so it is something tangible. But you say, Brother Spurgeon, I thought it was something that was invisible or that we couldn't see. You see, it may be something invisible that you cannot see, but it is something that you can and will attain when you pray through. And now this is what Job says. He said, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall share and perish. That's in Job chapter 8. There's a whole page of definition there, but I need to move on and convey to you, every one of us, about how Peter wrote about that hope. And this is what he said in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I believe we're going to spend the rest of this sermon today looking at that for just a little while. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 1, we want to go over there. And I just love these passages of Scripture that are found there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is what he said. And I want you to notice how many times he uses the word hope in this. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, he said Asia and Bithynia, he said elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is how it's done. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. And you know what He has begotten us again to? I'm going to tell you, if your hope is not alive, if you don't have a hope in a Jesus that the resurrection, He said, I am the resurrection. That means He said, and I am the light. If your hope is not in Jesus Christ, then you've got a dead hope. That's what it's saying. Do you have a dead... I believe that a lot of the world is troubled because they got a dead hope. They don't have a lively hope. But you see, and a lot of the trouble that's in the world today and by the world, and even in a troubled soul, if you've got a troubled soul, you've got a dead hope. You really don't have any hope. You have nothing really that has any substance. But this is what Peter said. He said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you see, the reason we have this lively hope is because Jesus did what He said He was going to do. He said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to raise it back up. He said, you take this life from me and I'll lay it down. And that's what He did. He said, I laid it down so I can take it back up again. That solidified our hope in Christ Jesus. And it just wasn't on the day of the resurrection. You see, the writer in the book of Hebrews in the 6th chapter said that hope is going to endure until the end. So the end, there is an end. There is an end of this life. And at the end of this life, that's when hope, that's when the reality of hope, who He's already given us that anchor within our soul, it's going to really, really shine through. Now, this is what He says. Because you have this hope in Christ, or this lively hope, you have an inheritance. He says, you have an inheritance. And it's not just any inheritance. You know, really, when you think about it, every inheritance that we we have down here, and I don't know if I'll have an inheritance. In fact, I don't know if I'll be even giving my children inheritance. I don't know. I don't know about those things. But there's one thing that I did inherit that I want them to possess. And that's why I'm here today. If you have not inherited salvation from the Lord God Almighty, you know what? All these inheritances that you have, the Bible says it's going to be corruptible. In other words, and if it's corruptible, you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. But there's one thing that can't burn up. That's what I... You can burn my body on the stake. You know, I was thinking the other night when I was preaching, the Lord, He let me see John on the Isle of Patmos after he had burned in oil. And they even tried to burn the old man up. But they couldn't get his soul. They just couldn't do that. So after he healed up a little bit on the outside, God, He pulled him out of there. He was living in a cave on the Isle of Patmos in exile. God began to tell him some things. But you know what? There was one thing that He did, and every church that is in existence today, even churches that are really not churches, they'll take their lineage all the way back to one man that He preached to. Do you know who that is? His name is Polycarp. Polycarp, he heard the preaching of John, and he got saved. And after he got saved, he realized that he had a hope in him. And that hope was so secure, and I don't know that I could be like Polycarp. You know what they did to him? They put him on, they tied him on a stick, on a piece of wood. And they tied his hands together, they tied him there, and they lit a fire around him, you know, and they tried to burn him up. And before they did that, they stuck him with all of these daggers, and he was bleeding, and it said the blood, put out the fire. I'm going to tell you, he had a hope. I've got a hope, and I've got that same hope that Polycarp had. And that same hope is still alive today. And it's still good for a troubled soul. It's good for a troubled church. It's true. It's good as an anchor for a troubled world that we live in a troubled world that needs to hear. And I'll go to my grave trying to tell people that if you don't have a hope in Christ, you don't have a hope at all. But listen to what he said. He says to an inheritance, incorruptible, and it's undefiled. But the best part, it won't ever fade away. He said it won't fade away. And you know what he said? He said, it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. He didn't say it's reserved in heaven for the church. He didn't say it was reserved in heaven for this organization because of what they did or what they didn't do. He brought it down to between you and Him. He said, it is reserved in heaven to you and to me. And He says, we are kept by the power of God. You see, that hope, it's kept by the power of God in two immutable things. He said, it's impossible for God to lie. Another thing, it's impossible for God to fail. And my hope and your hope and anybody that has the true hope of Jesus Christ is anchored in the veil. It's anchored within the veil, you see. And it's anchored within the veil of Christ. But listen to what he says. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice now, he said, just for a season. And what's he mean by that? That means we're going through life, we're holding on to the hand of Christ, and he's holding, I guess the better thing to say is he's holding on to us. You know that? He's holding on to us. It says, he will hold my hand all the way. Even through this message today, He'll hold my hand through the message tonight. He'll hold my hand through all of our life if we'll just let Him. And I pray that you'll just let Him. He said, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you have in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now that's the hope I'm talking about. And did you hear what Noah Webster said? This hope has a joy. It's a joy. And it's a joy to serve the Lord, but it's a joy even in the hardest of trials and tribulations. And he says, even when you have heaviness through manifold temptations and the trial of your faith, and it's going to be tried with fire. He says, whom having not seen you love. Well, I haven't seen Jesus Christ, but I love Him. How do I know that I love Him? Because I have a hope in here. How do you know? I told you, something that you feel. Something that you know is real. He says, and whom thou know, you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets even talked about. And they inquired and they searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified before the hand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow thee, or should follow, and to whom it was revealed. Now listen real close, because he's going to start talking a little bit more about that lively hope. He said, and to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, and by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which they the angels desire to look on and look into. He said, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Be sober in what? And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you see that tucked away in there? He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And what I believe he's trying to say is, the reality of it is, if you belong to God, if you belong to Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, you've got everything you need. We just need to focus on it a little bit more. It's not a doom and gloom world. You say, well, if I go turn on the news, it is. Well, that's why we come to church. I'm not here to tell you about all that doom and gloom stuff. I'm here to tell you that we can hope in Christ. And there is a better life. Even if you are in doom and gloom. Even if you are lost and separated from God. Even if you think you've done so much that you can't even attain that hope. Let me tell you, that's a lie from the devil himself. You can get saved. You can have that blessed hope and that blessed assurance that only God can give. And when you listen to the troubled world, don't get sucked up in it. Don't let the loins of your mind be consumed with all the negativism of the world around about us. You know why? Because Jesus is still alive. I may be tired. I may be weak. I may be losing my mind. I may tell you that there's the book of Nicodemus in Sunday school. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather wear out hoping in Christ Jesus than to not wear out at all thinking about the troubles of this world. It ain't worth it. And I know that's not good English, but that's what I'm trying to convey to all of us today. That there is hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. I'll tell you, if you're still relying on the former desires of this life, in order for you to obtain the hope in Christ, you got to be willing to just lay all that aside. Let God change you in the inside out. Now, in order for us to do that, we have to change the way we walk and talk a little bit too. But if you'll let God do that, I still struggle with it. I sure do. But I'm going to tell you what. If you have hope in Christ, you've got something that is holy in you. It's holy. A lot of people, they don't even think about that. They get saved and you know what? We as missionary Baptists and people that believe in the security of the believer, we get a bad rap every now and then. But you know what? I think sometimes it's justified. You know what they say? They say, well, you old time Baptists, you believe you can get saved and go live any way you want to out there in the world. That's not true. But sometimes we sure let that show forth, don't we? Because we do not live holy lives. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. But I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. And I'm not judging your life, whether it's holy or whether it's not. That's between you and God. In fact, I struggle hard enough just trying to keep my own backyard clean, you see. And the responsibility. And like I said, and I'll say it again. The other day, my name got put on the church sign out there. Y'all's is on it too. If you're a member of this church, it's on there before mine is. It's Faith Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Elder Ron Spurgeon. But do you think when they see us out there in the world living unholy lives and doing the things that we know that God is not pleased with, the first thing they're going to think of, well, that person's a member of faith. And who's their pastor? Well, no wonder. They think they can just go live any way they want to and make it to heaven. We're going to, I'll tell you what, we're going to make it to heaven because of the grace of God and the hope that is anchored in the soul. And it's our part to live a sanctified, purified life before our fellow men. And you say, well, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. Well, I'm pretty much preaching to myself. And if you can get a nugget from it, then take it and go with it. But this is what it says. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of... You ever carried on a conversation without talking to anybody? You ever heard a picture's worth a thousand words? Have you ever carried on a conversation, not said a word, but your actions spoke a lot louder? So a lot of people, they look at that verse of Scripture and they say, well, if you're going to be holy, you've got to go around saying, praise the Lord all the time. That's not living a holy conversation life. It's how we present ourselves before this world that we live in. And I don't know if I should say this, but this is what come to my heart, and maybe it's just for me. But really, do people want to have what we have and the hope that we profess that we have when we go around acting or talking the way we do on a daily basis? Let that sink in. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written. Now, if it is written, that means it's not just New Testament. It applies to the Old Testament too. And the Old Testament says this. It says in the Old Testament, it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, if God is holy, you say, you mean I'm supposed to go around and act like I'm holier than thou? That's not what he's saying. He's saying that we should emulate, or we should everybody ought to be able to see that we belong to Jesus without even saying a word. All of us, including the preacher. That's why my wife said amen so much, and amen, because I live with her, she lives with me, she sees it every day. But let me tell you something else. Jesus sees it all. He knows it all. And maybe next week, because I thought I was going to be reading from the 139th division of Psalm today, but the Lord just didn't impress upon me. Led me this way. But I would encourage you to read the 139th division of Psalm when you get a chance. Just you and the Lord alone. And if you're not saved, read that. There's a message in there for you too. And the one word that's going to really, really stick out is the fact that God is everywhere, and it even says in there, it's going to sting a little bit. It's going to sting a little bit when you say, Lord, search me. Search me. And when He searches you, one of the things that He needs to find out where your hope is really are. And we do well to approach every day that way. And when we do, that hope that we have will bring so much joy in the troubled world that we live in. For he said, and that you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, holy reverence to God. Why? Because you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversations, useless conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God. Do you really know what solidifies our hope? That lively hope that we have? I'll go back to what I said earlier. Peter reiterates it. He says this. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. If your faith and hope is not in God today, I pray before the sun goes down this evening that it is. And in some of you it may be. We talked about Nicodemus today. Nicodemus, he didn't want to be seen by the other Pharisees, so he went to the Lord by night. You read that in the third chapter. Something evidently happened to Nicodemus. And if you read in the seventh chapter of the book of John, the question was asked, are there any Pharisees among us that believe in him? And Nicodemus was the first to speak up. But do you know really what solidified to me the hope that Nicodemus had? When Jesus died on the cross, he publicly went with Joseph of Arimathea, and they prepared the body of Christ. What did they prepare it for? They prepared it for a 3-day short-term vacation. I don't know what it was, where he buried all of our sins and he come up out of the grave 3 days later in that temporary grave. And Nicodemus, you see, we may have to bury some things. We may have to bury some things. Things we may not even want to give up. Things that if you really want to live a joyful, glorious, hopeful, lively, hopeful life and not be so much focused on all the troubles of the world, we may have to bury them just like Jesus buried our sins. And let it be raised up incorruptible. Let it be raised up undefiled. Because that will not fade away. The things and the troubles of this world, they're fading away, folks. You say, but they're getting worse all the time, Brother Ron. That's good news. If you're saved, signs of the times. If you're not saved, it might shake your hope a little bit. Maybe exactly what you need. Let me finish with this, and then I'm not going to go to the book of Ephesians yet. But maybe next week. But seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Being born again means to be born from above. A person that has not been born above, they have not experienced the hope that God gives. We can hope in a lot of things. A lot of people, they're hoping they make it to heaven in that form of hope. That's not the hope I'm talking about. Because when a person's born again, something will happen to them. It will be of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and of the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord will endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you today. Today, if your hope is not in Christ, I hope before this day is over that it will be. I believe that's enough. Brother Jimmy, can we have a song?
100.
If your hope is not in Christ, please seek the Lord. If your hope is in Christ, let's go on and try to let the Spirit of the Lord perfect that in all of us to live a holier life before our fellow man. Thank you for listening. Let's come around and sit in. I need your prayers. We need each other's prayers. And you have that lively hope. It's a struggle, but don't focus on the struggle. Focus on that unity. That light at the end of the tunnel. Get brighter every day to notice.
Are you weary? Are you weary?
Every
sand of the sea. Counted. He knows the accurate account here. Wow, in the world. I believe what he says. He knows every song. He's got it all covered. Every bit of that makes me happy. That makes me joyous. I know I belong to him. Anybody else? All hearts and minds at liberty. Ready to go out into the mission world. When we walk through these doors, that's what we're doing. You go to North Star last year. That's how they got it. North Star Missionary Baptist Church. You are now entering the mission field. So, if we're going to enter into the mission field, the last thing we want to do is go out there and say, oh man, this is where they're in big trouble. They aren't full of that. We need hope. We don't have any hope. Man, our message is dead. It's got to be alive. He said, well, what can I do, Brother Ron? A lot of times she don't have to say anything. It's just your actions. That's a pretty strong conversation. You don't even have to say a word. I'm talking to myself too. Guy this week, he's getting ready to tell a dirty joke. I just said, hold on. Extra stage left. I'm coming. I tell people, if you're going to tell me a joke, if I can't tell it from the pulpit, I don't want to hear it. It's not. It's worthless. Anybody else? I love y'all. I hope you love me. If you don't, I hope you will soon. I still want to love you anyway. Let's go out there and let's try to endure another day. And keep remembering, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. That's a wonderful hope. Brother James Parker.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, Lord. Yes. We thank you for the opportunity to be there. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message for the Lord God. The Holy Spirit, set it away. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you. Keep coming back. I'm going to tell you, we're just keep hearing the gospel. So it's going to have a shake.
What brain is that?
Love you. I'm not going to do that.